Thank you, Juan Carlos. Yes, indeed, we are very proud to have led the chair, well, presided over the Oslo Diplomatic Conference, together with a strong cross-sectional support, but particularly in Africa, and together with civil society, which played a key role in the attainment of this convention. I think at this stage, to say, if I just look at the room this week, yes, especially from Africa, the participation is not that great. We would really like to see more. I can't speak on behalf of Africa, obviously, but from my personal perspective, I think that there's a lack of awareness on the implementation of this treaty. And as I said, I can speak from my personal experience. I started working on the Mine Ban Treaty in 1999. And following the destruction of our stockpiles, we only have one real obligation besides international cooperation and assistance, that is the transparency reporting. When I was posted abroad after about 12 years or so, and I returned to this portfolio of mine about just before the Oslo Review Conference. And during that time, I noticed that we had not submitted an Article 7 report for something like 4 or 5 years. And I was actually quite alarmed. And I traced it back to the situation that I had when I was submitting the reports. It was, as in most of our cases, we receive them from our various Defense Force departments. And the person that I used to receive them annually and on time has moved, well, he moved away. He's now head of the Arms Trade Treaty Secretariat. So that's where the gap came in. So there's a lack of continuity in our foreign ministries and in our defense ministries. The reporting function is no longer the person I'm speaking about is Dumisani Ladla, many of you know him. Function, when Dumisani left for the Arms Trade Treaty Secretariat, the function, the reporting function in defense moved elsewhere. And there's some things that we can try and do to focus on this particular important thing. I think we can, as states parties, take a decision mandating the ISU, and the ISU already has a communication function. But to invite states to establish national points of contact, one or two. For the Arms Trade Treaty, for instance, we have one in defense, and I'm in our foreign ministry, the point of contact. We can take a decision to establish, as they have in the Arms Trade Treaty, a voluntary trust fund, together with a sponsorship program. In that way, we can actually focus states, parties, to what is happening in this convention. The ISU can, beyond its function of communicating with diplomatic missions here in Geneva, can actually send a blind copy to the national focal points as well. I know that the experience in the Arms Trade Treaty is that during the intersessional period and also at the Conference of States Parties, they have, as part of the sponsorship program, they bring about 25 or so developing country participants. And the day before the actual start of the meeting, have a run-through of what is this convention about? What are your responsibilities? At the same time, their secretariat has started to invite the national points of contact as well, in order to brief them on what their responsibilities are. As part of the voluntary trust fund, states, parties are encouraged to put forward project proposals. Now, these are small. We're not talking about, in our context here in this treaty, about demining projects. We're talking about national training and regional workshops in order to get awareness going on this particular thing. I'm very conscious of the time. Just a final 2 points. I think that, for instance, it might have been easier to get, I mean, Eritrea's name has come up quite often, through a national point of contact, if it was functioning and strengthened, we could have used that avenue as well. And I think that's one case where there's a need to activate that kind of a mechanism. And my final point is that this all could actually add to the universalization and implementation of this treaty. I'm conscious of the time. Thank you, Juan Carlos.